For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stuff around here doesn't change too much. I think we know what to expect from the golf course. We know what to expect from the fans. Always a great turnout this week.
As the tour enters its final day, we're live at the Tour Championship with Abe Gordon.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app as Abe gives you the insight on the tour you can only find here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Abe Gordon.
Welcome in live to the beautiful East Lake Golf Club here. The final day of the Tour Championship well underway. And it is just about all but over here for Scottie Scheffler. He has a 6-stroke lead. Of course, they've still got quite a few holes to play. They are through 4 right now, but he is well out in front, as he should be, by the way. And I know John Fricke criticized the format of the Tour Championship, and it wouldn't surprise me that John hasn't been paying that much attention to it. But Scottie Scheffler's had one of the best 3 rounds out here. In fact, the only one who's been better than him thus far is Colin Morikawa, and this does serve as a end-of-season championship tournament. So I actually think that, in some situations, maybe a 10-stroke lead. And by the way, it's not a 10-stroke lead on everyone. It's a 10-stroke lead on a couple of guys. It's a 2-stroke lead on one guy and 4 and 3, and you get the picture. But Scottie Scheffler at 27 under has played well enough to win the tournament and to win the championship here. It's pretty much a procession at this point. So we'll keep an eye on it as he hits the back 9. And we'll see if we're still here, by the way, when he comes through 16. And that's where we're located. We are at the Dobell Tequila Tent right here in the landing. And we are just on the right side of the 16th fairway. So if you are following a crowd, if you're following a pair of golfers, feel free to stop by. They've obviously, as we mentioned, the Dobell Tequila Tent here, they have a bunch of delicious Dobell tequila drinks, including a signature Ace Paloma made with a sparkling grapefruit soda, which sounds like it would be good if I were not working, but I am. But don't fret, if tequila is not your drink, they do have a full bar as well. So as you come up 16, if you're heading towards the green, we are right there on the right side. Come say hi. I've got my 92.9 The Game. Well, it's not a 92.9 The Game water bottle. It's my water bottle with a 92.9 The Game sticker on it. So you can tell by that. And I've also propped my 92.9 The Game hat up here. It kept my head protected on the 8-minute walk from the media center to our location. So feel free to come say hi. I'm here till 5 o'clock, and we got a lot to get to throughout the course of the show today. Look, college football week 1 is not yet over, but it has been quality, if nothing else. And so we'll get into what happened a little bit later this hour. John Bryce of footballscoop.com, national college football reporter, he's going to join me. He was actually, I was texting with him earlier today. He was flying home from the Notre Dame-Texas A&M game. And so we'll talk to him about that game, but certainly the rest of what's happened in week 1. But we got a couple games left, too, and one really entertaining and interesting. Well, I think it'll be entertaining. I guess we shouldn't call it entertaining before we see it. But, like, on paper, it should be a pretty good game is what I'm getting at. And that, of course, is tonight, number 23 USC against number 13 LSU. I say against instead of at because this game is being played neutral site, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Looking forward to that one. It's going to kick off, 7:30 on ABC tonight. Also tonight, by the way, little primetime action double dip for you. Atlanta Braves baseball is on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but first things first, we're going to slide back to college football. Georgia and the win over Clemson. Look, there's a couple of performances last night and throughout the day yesterday that I think kind of stole the show. And for different reasons, right? I think Miami and the potential emergence of Miami with Cam Ward there certainly made headlines yesterday, as did the flip side negativity with the Florida Gators. And you can sign me up for the Fire Billy Napier squad. But I think you look throughout the day, Notre Dame. Right, Notre Dame with a nice fourth quarter victory over Texas A&M. That game, to be honest, and I don't know for those of you who didn't hear college football game time, myself and Garrett Chapman, 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings, and John Freaky and Chris Goforth continuing the show, 10 a.m. to noon as well. That game between Notre Dame and Texas A&M played out just about exactly how I thought it would. I think people discredit Notre Dame's defense. Do not do that. They are an elite unit. I think if you get into a game like that and you have Riley Leonard, the Notre Dame quarterback, with the athletic ability to create with his legs, he can win you games in the fourth quarter, and that is what he did yesterday. So, again, we got plenty of time to get into college football throughout the show. A little bit later in the show, and again, I'm here till 5 o'clock, so keep that in mind. But a little bit later in the show, CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports paired for a discussion of SEC experts and their top concerns this season for each school. What keeps SEC fans up at night? Found this list pretty interesting. I know I gave it to Andy and Randy, and they went over one or two thoughts, but didn't really get into it, so I want to take some time doing that. Falcons bold predictions. I have one show left before the Falcons kick off, right, in terms of hosting. I'm going to be hosting on Wednesday night, but in terms of Wednesday night, I'm going to focus more on week one. So today, I want to get your bold predictions. And here, we're going to do that in about 15 minutes, or less than 15 minutes. I got a couple suggestions already on Twitter/X. So feel free to hop into the mentions and share your bold predictions for the Falcons this season, be it a team or an individual. But I want to remind you, don't come spew me some regular take. I'm looking for something bold. I want something out there. I got a couple. I got one from Joe Patrick. I was talking with him last night. He gave me one. We'll get one from Dom as well later in the show. And I got a bunch of reaction on Twitter. We're going to read some of those. But if you haven't had an opportunity to get yours in, feel free to do that now. At Abe Gordon on Twitter is where you can send those, and we'll read them throughout the show, but certainly a little bit more in-depth next break. Again, it is the Abe TL Show live at East Lake Golf Club, the Tour Championship Sunday, and it is Scottie Scheffler well out in front. He's had a great weekend, and I know we can kind of just throw it out there. Oh, he was 10 shots up on everyone, and that's why he's winning. That's not the truth. Like that's such a lazy talking point. I mean, this is a guy that fired a 65 and then back-to-back 66s in round 2 and 3. Colin Morikawa is the only one who's had a better tournament through 3 rounds than Scottie Scheffler. So let's not pretend like it's just because he had a 10-stroke lead, which, again, he had a 10-stroke lead on like 5 or 6 guys who started at even par. There were some guys who were 2 strokes back, 3 strokes back, 4 strokes back. No, it's not just because of that. He has had as good a tournament or better than everyone with the exception of Colin Morikawa, and those two would be neck and neck. But again, this is a season-ending competition, and so he should be given a handicap and a benefit, and he's used it well. That's why he's up 6 right now. Morikawa even, 21 under today. Scottie Scheffler already picked one up today. He's at 27 under. Again, Atlanta Braves baseball. Last night, the Phillies beat the Braves. Zach Wheeler, Max Fried, they get after it. Max Fried gives up a couple of runs here and there, but it's enough because Zach Wheeler was lights out. They're back on Sunday Night Baseball now. And look, it would be nice to salvage the series, if you will, not drop 3 of 4 to the Phillies up in Philadelphia. But this is no longer about chasing down the Phillies in the NL East. There was a hot second heading into this series where you're like, I don't know, man. Like, you sweep this squad, and you're 4, right? 4 games you pick up, and you're 1 back heading into September. You sweep this squad. All right, you had an opportunity in Game 1 to win it. Brian Snicker made a bad decision. Charlie Morton gives up a home run. You lose that game. All right. You win Game 2, right? You handle business. And you start saying, all right, you can take the next 2. Maybe you're, you can leave this series 3 back, and it kind of gives you a chance with 20-something games left. Well, that didn't happen last night either. And so whether you win tonight or not, and by the way, you do kind of need to win tonight because the Mets are starting to breathe down your backs again. But whether you win tonight or not, this is no longer a chase for the NL East. It is all about the wild card. We'll talk about that throughout the show as well. Tyler Matzek back with the Atlanta Braves, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Braves added him back on a minor league deal. They also, important to note, they did it before the deadline, and there's a September 1st deadline. So if there is a choice to be made, he would be postseason eligible. So that's what you got there with Tyler Matzek, and we'll see if he can get things right up a little bit. We got Atlanta United last night. It was speaking of the Braves trying to chase down the Phillies in a playoff race. Atlanta United's on the backside of a playoff race. They are the number 9 seed. 9 teams will get in from the Eastern Conference. They're the last one in position right now, and there were 5 or 6 teams right behind them, all within a point or 2. Atlanta United needed to get 3 points yesterday. They went into Charlotte courtesy of Jay Fortune. They do pick up a 1-0 victory. They do stay in the 9th spot right now, so good things there. Got some interesting stuff we'll talk about throughout the show. It is Labor Day weekend. I know it's supposed to be the end of summer. It doesn't feel like the end of summer. I'll maybe share some thoughts why. Like, obviously the temperature is like the basic obvious, like, well, it's still hot outside, so it's not fall yet. And now football's here, so maybe there's a little irk of fall towards that. When I was a kid, Labor Day felt like the end of summer. And a lot of that had to do with pools being closed, but also like the school year. School year starts so early now that like it's just school year start during summer. There is no, it doesn't end summer. We'll get into that. And then Dragon Con has been going on downtown this year. I'll be honest, haven't seen much from Dragon Con this year. So I don't know if it's a good thing, but surprised it didn't make more noise. I guess that's what I'm saying. All right, I want to get into it. And again, we're going to have plenty of time to get into college football throughout the show. We're going to talk more about the Braves. I got to explain this NFC-AFC match game segment that I wrote up for you. We'll do that when we get to it. But when we come back here on the ATL show, live from East Lake and the Tour Championship, Falcons bold predictions. We are 1 week away from kickoff in the NFL season, less if you count the Thursday and Friday games. What are we looking at for the Falcons? I want a bold prediction from you guys, so feel free to join in. 404-726-0929 if you want to call in and share your bold prediction. 404-726-0929. I've also got a couple on social. I'll run down a few of mine as well. So a lot still to come here till 5 o'clock, right on the right side of the 16th fairway on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Final day of the Tour Championship, and Abe Gordon is live with our exclusive coverage.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here, live just off the 16th fairway at the Dobell Tequila Tent. Come on and say hi. We're starting to see the crowds fill up here towards the deeper holes on the back nine as some of the, let's just say it what it is, the more relevant golfers make their way towards this part of the course. Scottie Scheffler did drop a shot. He's back to even on the day, but still holds a five-stroke lead there over Colin Morikawa. Sungjae Im, Justin Thomas are some of the guys that have been overly good today. Robert McIntyre, who has not had a great week necessarily, dropped a 7-under so far through 17. So that might be the low round of the tournament. Or close to it. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right. Welcome back in again. It is the Abe TL Show. We're live at East Lake Golf Club here at the Dobell Tequila Tent. So if you do happen to be here, and I was thinking about this, like I keep saying, like if you happen to be here, if you're walking the course, like honestly, what better to do on I know it's hot out and that's its own problem, but like what better to do on a Sunday than to watch the final round of the golf tournament while listening to the Odyssey app? Like, I mean, what else are you going to listen to? Just a golf ball get hit every couple of minutes? Ping! You can't hear them walking.
You can hear the people clap.
You hear the claps, I guess. It's a golf clap, though. It's reserved. I'm not. I'm loud. You put that Odyssey app in your headphones. They might tell you to quiet, please, with the little sign. You never know. Welcome back in. We are going to be talking about the Atlanta Falcons here because we are 1 week out. I mean, look, at this time next week, we're probably close to halftime, maybe coming out of halftime. Ideally with a significant lead, and quite honestly expecting a significant lead over Russell Wilson. So we're going to get into it here. And I put the call out on Twitter for bold Falcons predictions because my next show on Wednesday, I didn't want to wait until Wednesday to do bold predictions because we're going to be diving into game prep and kind of breaking it down, sharing some thoughts, stuff like that. So I did want to get into some bold predictions here. I was sitting in the studio last night with Joe Patrick just kind of talking through. I was like, hey, man, is this, like, bold enough? Is it – I don't want to call some, like – middle-of-the-road thought, a bold prediction. Like, that's – you got to get after it, man. Like, if you're going to be bold, be bold. And so, I've tried to express that to people who are going to call in, people who have tweeted. If you're going to have a bold prediction, make sure it's bold. Like, let's really get after it here. So, again, we are going to take some calls on this, 404-726-0929. Again, 404-726-0929. If you want to call in, join me on the show and give me your Falcons bold predictions. I'll get to some of the social media responses in just a moment, but I want to start with my first bold prediction, and I have three of them, but we'll get one from Dom as well, and again, I have one from Joe Patrick from last night. We'll get yours on the phones and then also on social media. My first bold prediction for the Atlanta Falcons season is that the Falcons are going to ride into the playoffs with at least an 8-game winning streak to end the regular season. I think that they are going to win at least their last 8 games heading into the playoffs. This is a schedule that includes the Saints, the Broncos, a bye week before the game against the Chargers, the Vikings, the Raiders, the Giants, the Commanders, the Panthers. I think that they're going to win 8 straight games and maybe more if they are not coming off a loss heading into the playoffs. So that is bold prediction number one. Bold prediction number two. And by the way, I think that's bold. I haven't heard anyone else say they're going to win 8 straight. Bold prediction number two. Drake London's going to have over 100 catches this season and lead the team in receiving touchdowns. I know the focus is on Bijan Robinson, as it should be. I know in terms of pass running, or pass catching, pardon me, a lot of focus is there on Kyle Pitts as well, and as it should be. But I think Drake London is being overlooked and will continue to be overlooked. Only five receivers in the entire NFL had over 100 receptions last season. I think Drake London is going to accomplish that this year. And my last bold prediction, and again, if you want to get in line on Twitter/X at Abe Gordon, I'll see it and read it. Or on the phones. I know we got a couple lining up. We'll get to you guys in just a moment. 404-726-0929 if you want to share your bold predictions. And again, like, really get out there, man. Be bold. A.J. Terrell is going to have five or more interceptions this season. I know there's been a ton of criticism in regard to A.J. Terrell and the lack of turnovers created. He's got the new nice big deal. He's got two reliable safeties behind him. A.J. Terrell is going to have five or more interceptions this season and kind of rejoin that discussion of one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL. And just for comparative purposes, only six players had five or more interceptions last season, and oh yeah, Jesse Bates was one of them. So those are my three bold predictions. Falcons have at least an eight-game winning streak to end the season. Drake London will go over 100 catches, and A.J. Terrell will have five or more interceptions. What are your bold predictions? 404-726-0929. We start with Marlo, who's out in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Marlo?
What's going on, Mr. A? Now, listen here. You heard it here first. I'm going to tell you, the first three games we play, we're going to boat race them teams. We're going to bless them. I'm telling you, them three teams cannot stop the run at all. And by the time we play Patrick Mahomes, we're going to turn them over three times, at least, interception. That's my bold prediction. We're going to boat race Pittsburgh, we're going to boat race Philadelphia, and we're going to boat race world champion.
All right, I appreciate the call, Barlow. I would say that's bold because of the emphasis on boat racing. I think there's a good opportunity for the Falcons to go 2-1 in these first three games. I don't know if they'll go 3-0. I don't even know if saying that they'll go 3-0 is overly bold. To say they're going to blow out the Eagles on the road in primetime, to say they're going to blow out the Chiefs, though, at home in primetime, for that, I will say that Marlo is going big and bold, and I hope he is right. Let's continue on the phone lines. We got Jermaine Indicator. What's going on, Jermaine?
What's up? This is my bold position. This is my bold for the Falcons. I believe they will go, the first three games, they're going to go 2-1. I see them dropping to the Chiefs. And I think they're going to the NFC Championship game.
All right, I appreciate the call there. NFC title berth, is that bold? Is that I kind of mildly have that as an expectation, if we're going to be honest. And that's just me. Obviously, the expectations are high. The optimism is high. That's where they need to be, if we're being realistic, and depending on how things fall, that's kind of where they need to be. Continuing on the phone lines, we got Duke in College Park. What's going on, Duke?
Good afternoon.
What you got, listen, for a big, bold Falcons prediction for me, Duke?
First things first. Kurt Warner, MVP. Kurt Cousins, MVP.
Now, Kurt Second Warner prediction. Being the MVP would have been bold. That would have been.
Kurt Cousins, MVP.
Okay,
Atlanta,
I like it.
Falcons, Super Bowl champions. We're going to New Orleans, and we're taking over New Orleans.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, those are both big and bold predictions that we're all hoping comes true. And we'll talk it through as we get there, but the possibility of winning a Super Bowl in New Orleans does make it a little bit sweeter. Look, Kirk Cousins for an MVP, I mean, if that's the sort of season that he's having, you're talking about a team that is probably, at worst, 12-5, potentially 13 or 14 wins. Probably, if he's the MVP, probably the number one seed in the NFC. So I would certainly take that. Let's go back up to the top. We got Deuce in Atlanta. What's up, Deuce?
Yeah, how you doing, man? How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. What's going on?
All right, well, my bold prediction is rather realistic. So I'm just going to ride with it.
Okay.
My first bold prediction is both times that we see New Orleans, because I'm a big Saints hater, we're going to kick their asses.
I mean, I would take that. That sounds good to me.
And my second bold prediction is I see the Falcons winning a solid 10 or 11 games this season.
Yeah, and that's probably, to me, like the bottom of the barrel of where they need to be. I mean, even if they won the NFC South and made the playoffs at 9-8, that would be disappointing. And obviously, all disappointment from a regular season can be removed with success in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, 10 wins is like the base of what they need to be accomplishing. So, there you go. Again, it is the Abe TL Show. I am live here at East Lake, chatting about the Atlanta Falcons, and we're a week away from kickoff. It's finally here. It took a while to get to college football, but college football's off and running. Had a great day yesterday watching the games from noon until midnight, and if we're going to be honest, a little bit beyond midnight, because that Washington game kicked off at 11 p.m. So I was up deep into the night watching football, but we're also now within the week going to be playing NFL games, and so I got a couple of bold predictions from the Falcons. I'm taking yours as well. We got my man Yo in Atlanta, wants to share his. What's going on, Yo?
What's going on, brother Abe? I'm going to start off with the easy one, man. 13-4.
Okay.
That's not even my bold prediction, though. I want to take you back to 1997. When Herman Moore, Johnny Morton, and Barry Sanders did something that was unbelievable. They had 2,000-yard receivers and then a 2,000-yard running back. And I'm telling you right now, Bijan Robinson, $2,000 on the rushing. We're going to have my man sitting out there, Kyle Pitts, with his 1,000-yard receiving again, back like he was a rookie. And then Mr. London over the top for his 1,000 yards. And I believe that we are going to the Super Bowl. I've said it once, I've said it twice, and this is the third time you've heard me say it. Love you, Abe.
I appreciate it, Yo. Thanks for the call. And look, I mean, again, a lot of these things all round into each other, right? Like, if Bijan goes for 2,000 and you've got Pitts and London over a grand each, you're going to win a lot of games. And that leads right into 13 wins potentially on the season. Hopefully, what, 3? Depending on the seed, you'd probably be the NFC's 1 or 2 seed at that point. So 3 in the playoffs, if my math is correct. I got one from Joe Patrick I want to get to real quick. We'll get Dom's a little bit later in the show. We'll circle back because I do need a break here for John Price of footballscoop.com. Going to join us talking college football next. But Joe Patrick joined me yesterday in studio. We're hanging out during the Atlanta United game. He says that they're going to be the NFC's number one seed. That the Atlanta Falcons will be the number one seed in the NFC. Maybe not the best team, but because of the schedule, which is relatively easy, it sets them up to be the top seed in the NFC. So that was Joel Patrick's bold predictions. Again, as a reminder, my 3, the Falcons are going to ride at least an 8-game win streak to end the regular season. Drake London's going to have over 100 catches, and A.J. Terrell will have 5 or more interceptions. Those are my bold predictions. We'll circle back a little bit later in the show, maybe take a couple more calls and get to the social media responses for bold predictions as well. But got to hit a break here because coming up in 5 minutes, we are going to talk college football. John Price of footballscoop.com. He also covers Notre Dame. He's going to join us and break down what we've seen so far in week one and what we might see tonight as well. It's Abe Gordon coming to you live from East Lake, the Tour Championship, right off of the 16th fairway, the right side in the Dobell Tequila tent. Come say hi. Come grab a drink. Let's have some fun on a Sunday on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Abe Gordon
from the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Course
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here live at East Lake, the Tour Championship, where Scottie Scheffler still holds a 5-shot lead over Colin Morikawa, 6 over Sahith Tagala, who took a 2-shot penalty due to his own decision making yesterday. Called himself on one. So that's the update, and we'll get back into some tour championship coverage a little bit later on the show. But right now I want to go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Atlanta's Ford dealer. And bring in John Bryce of FootballScoop.com. Also does yeoman's work covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And that's where we're going to start here in just a moment. But first off, John, how are you doing this Sunday afternoon?
Glad to visit with you, Abe. I appreciate the invite. It's college football season, so I've got to be doing well, right?
I mean, look, and the fact that we don't have to wait a couple more days for games. We still have one left tonight, one left tomorrow. So we're all still enjoying our Labor Day weekend. I want to start with the Notre Dame last night over Texas A&M. I've been very bullish on this Notre Dame squad. I don't think people realized, at least maybe not before last night, just how good that defense can be. And maybe just how big of a game breaker Riley Leonard is in a game like last night, in a close game where he can use his legs, where you're really just looking for maybe a touchdown drive, a field goal drive to put that thing out of reach. When you look at Notre Dame going into Kyle Field last night, coming out with a fourth quarter victory, what do you think the statement made to the nation was on behalf of the Fighting Irish?
You know, I think the biggest statement is that Notre Dame's not that plucky, disciplined, underdog team that's just going to be scrappy and fight and give you a game, but then be physically and athletically overmatched. I didn't see that last night. Notre Dame won the fourth quarter convincingly, in my opinion, on both lines of scrimmage. Notre Dame ran the ball incredibly effectively in the second half, and overall ended up, I think, averaging 5.5 yards a carry for over the course of the game, and they had something like 7 negative yardage plays and still averaged 5.5 yards per carry. So it was interesting. I was on the field pregame last night in College Station, and there were a number of NFL scouts around, and you talk on the sidelines, and the NFL scouts were paying far more attention to the Texas A&M roster, particularly that A&M defensive line that's got 3 solid NFL prospects on it. But Notre Dame served a little bit of notice. That's the biggest thing that Marcus Freeman has done thus far, is bring an edge to the program for sure. But he and his general manager, Chad Bowden, have really elevated the floor of Notre Dame. And it's a much more athletic, physical football team. As a colleague pointed out to me last night, who would have thought Notre Dame would come on the road deep in the heart of SEC country and be the faster team? And Notre Dame was the faster team last night.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at what they got in the secondary, maybe the NFL scout should pay attention there as well. The other question I have for Notre Dame here, John, before we move on to some of the other games that we saw, this was a really important win for them because their schedule doesn't necessarily present them a ton of opportunities to make national noise. And I know they're, like I heard after their win last night, hey, they're going to be favored in every game. And I'm not saying that they have to go undefeated to make the college football playoff. I think there is a little bit of room for error here and there. But this is a win that's really going to aid their argument if it comes down to it when the college football playoff committee is meeting.
Yeah, it gave Notre Dame equity this season. It gave Marcus Freeman equity that he's not had in his brief tenure to this point. Look, he's had a signature win in 2022. He upset a top five Clemson and really pummeled them in South Bend. Last year, he upset undefeated USC with Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams. But this is the first time that Marcus Freeman took his team on the road and produced a signature win. And I said going into the game, I really believe it was the biggest game of Marcus Freeman's career, but if he helped his team win it, he would guarantee himself a chance to coach in a bigger game. And that's what he did by leading the Fighting Irish to victory last night.
John Bryce of FootballScoop.com, national college football reporter, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. John, 31 points was the spread. Excuse me, not the spread. The spread was much smaller. It was the difference, though, between Georgia and Clemson. What was most impressive about Georgia's dismantling of Clemson, especially in the second half?
Yeah, Abe, was it that close? I don't think it was 31 points close. So, you know, you've probably got some degenerate friends like I do that like to pay attention to those lines. And I'd said all week, hammer the line. I didn't care if Georgia was missing its top 2 running backs. There's light years of difference right now between the Georgia and Clemson football programs, and it's just one week into the season. But I think that there's To me, Georgia and Texas have separated themselves much more differently than the rest of college football. And I know that Oregon and Ohio State are probably the other two teams considered in that top four conversation. But Beck looked great yesterday. Georgia without two starting running backs still looked dynamic, still ran the ball incredibly well, and still showed that all those recruiting classes that Kirby has stacked also are continuing to be incredibly well developed, and Glenn Schumann's a future head coach. He's an elite defensive coordinator.
You want to keep it here in the state of Georgia for a moment, but going down to the southern parts, all the way down to Georgia Southern, Boise State took a trip there last night. And Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty had six touchdowns, 260 yards, whatever the number ended up being. What does he have to do to find his way into the Heisman discussion being at a school like Boise State?
Well, he needs to continue that sort of production. Obviously, he doesn't have to have six touchdowns a week, but the biggest thing is Boise State made an intersectional trip and came away with a nice win against a fellow G5 team, that program that has carried a lot of respect, but admittedly struggling under Clay Helton. But there's more opportunity events on Jeanty's schedule and the Boise State schedule because of the Mount West crossover with hosting Washington State and Oregon State, some of those programs this fall. I think maybe already had another former Pac-12 member on its schedule. San Diego State is a really nice program. Troy Calhoun and Air Force have done a good job. So he's going to have some opportunities on television games and games that will capture attention for review and analysis to continue to stamp himself. And people love running backs, and people love big, gaudy numbers, and he did both of those yesterday.
John Bryce of FootballScoop.com joining us. He also covers Notre Dame and saw a very nice win last night, one that I was all over because I took Notre Dame with the points in there and all that stuff. Very happy with it. One of the games that kind of came out of nowhere, and look, I'm not necessarily surprised that Miami beat Florida. I'm surprised at how good Miami looked, and then on the flip side, how bad Florida looked. Is Miami now, after seeing Georgia Tech beat Florida State, after seeing Clemson get demolished by the Bulldogs, is Miami the team to beat in the ACC?
Yeah, I thought going into the season that we would probably see a Miami-Clemson ACC championship. I know Virginia Tech was a trendy pick there, and obviously they shouldn't even have been able to get that game into overtime before losing at Vanderbilt. But, yeah, Miami looks like the best team. They've recruited the best, and they've been the most effective in the portal. Virginia Tech has done a nice job rebuilding there and starting to rebuild under Brent Pry, but Cristobal is further along. They've done more NIL-wise. They've done more transfer portal-wise. They probably, top to bottom, definitely have the most talented roster in the ACC. People have been waiting to see Mario Cristobal show that on a game day, and I thought that he and his coaching staff very much showed that yesterday, very similar to the way that I thought, quite frankly, Marcus Freeman, Al Goldman, Mike Denbrock really worked over Mike Elko and the A&M coordinators yesterday. I thought you saw more established camaraderie among the coaches in both of those games. I do draw similarities between what Miami did at Florida and what Notre Dame was able to do at Texas A&M. Miami, of course, winning in much more dominant fashion.
And on the flip side of that, when you look at Florida, in all fairness, I am a Florida fan, and I know where I stand on this. Florida AD Scott Strickland, even this week, talked about patience being rewarded and allowing Billy Napier to build this program. Do you see this going anywhere by the end of the season? Because I have a tough time making really any defense to keep him at this point.
Yeah, like you said earlier, it's just one game, but it's cumulative from an 11-14 start for his first 2 years, and for an era that started with so much hope after that incredible upset win at home against Utah in the Swamp to begin the Billy Napier era. And full disclosure, I know Billy a bit. We've talked several times in the past. We have a load of mutual friends with those Furman connections, and I'm surprised the struggle is this much. So it's very hard to see it getting turned around because of all the meat that's left on the bone of that schedule, so to speak. The fact of the matter is, if DJ Lagway becomes the answer and they start taking some hunks of meat out of there, then there's a lot of, what is it, $24 million in reasoning to potentially want to keep Billy. If you see signs of progress, you also have a new university president. So if you move on from Billy, does that mean you move on from Scott Strickland? I think there's a number of questions there. I think Billy needs to do himself a favor and figure out exactly who's running his defense, because I think Austin Armstrong's the co-coordinator. He's not calling it. It's Ron Roberts calling it, and Ron Roberts got pants yesterday.
Yeah, and to be honest, it wasn't the fact that they lost. I would have been okay with them losing. They got embarrassed on the field. There was no pass rush. There was nothing going on in the secondary. It's how they lost. It's how it looked. And so, because I think that Billy Napier has recruited very well, especially with this past class and the class that's going to be coming up. Obviously, DJ Lagway might be a savior for him, but you obviously got to be playing him for that to happen. John Bryce, footballscoop.com, national college football reporter, joining us here on 92.9 The Game. We got a big game tonight here. Really interested to see this one, the final top 25 matchup of week one, USC and LSU. What are you looking for tonight? We know what these two teams have lost, both having to replace Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, but as much as the quarterbacks can get the job done, to me it feels like whichever team has learned how to play defense since the end of last season can win this one tonight.
Yeah, it's in a lot of ways, Abe, it's a bit of a referendum season for both of those guys, and they're going to be inextricably linked as long as Brian Kelly's at LSU and Lincoln Riley's at USC, because LSU tried to hire Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma. He took the USC job instead. LSU pivoted and hired Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame. Kelly had a little bit of early success leading LSU to the SEC West title in his first year. Lincoln Riley obviously capitalized on Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison, especially in the portal, nearly led USC to the playoffs in his first year. But since that time, I believe if he loses tonight, Lincoln Riley would be 2-6 in his last eight games at USC. Now they're a Big Ten member. They've got a much more difficult schedule than in recent years. And similarly for Brian Kelly, he lost his top offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, Football Scoop Offensive Coordinator of the Year last year, back to Notre Dame. He had to retool there. He did make a hell of a good hire at defensive coordinator, stealing Blake Baker away from Missouri. Blake has a lot of Louisiana ties. Absolutely a gem of a defensive coordinator. But both teams believe they can lead with their offensive front. And I don't think anybody associates physicality with USC. They associate offense, but they associate finesse. We'll see if they do have a physical identity. And on the flip side, kudos to Lincoln Riley for going out and getting De'Anthon Lynn to run his defense, because that guy also is a superstar.
Yeah, I think Baker's a great hire. I totally agree with you. I'm hoping they can use Harold Perkins properly, because I think that would go a long way to figuring out how to make a couple of stops. Final question for you here, John. I just kind of want to open the floor for you. Is there any team we didn't talk about that maybe stood out to you yesterday with a particularly strong showing, or even if you go back to Thursday or Friday?
You know, probably a little bit of bias here, because I've been calling for this for a couple of weeks, and it's hard to say about one game against Alabama A&M, but I think Hugh Freeze's track record is that the second year at every program he's ever been in, I know they've gone to the postseason. I want to say maybe in the second year everywhere he's been, he's won at least 10 games. I'm a believer that Auburn can be a 9-10 win team, and if it's a 10-win team, it would be in the playoff discussion. So it's a team I want to know a lot more about, but it's a team I do believe can make significant noise this year in the SEC and therefore college football.
John, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We'll be sure to have you on again later in the season.
Yeah, man, anytime. That sounds great.
There you go. John Bryce of footballscoop.com. Really good stuff. Interesting to hear his thoughts. And he's right. The Billy Napier thing's weird. I like Billy Napier, but yesterday got me so emotionally fired up because of how embarrassing it was. It wasn't that you lost to Miami. I kind of expected to lose to Miami. I didn't think you'd get thrown around so easily, and that's what was most shocking about that for the Florida Gators. All right, our number one down here at East Lake, a quick update on the scores. Scotty Scheffler's back to even. He had been one under, so Colin Morikawa is four shots back. Sahith Tagala is five shots back. They are still on the front nine, right through seven holes right now, so we'll keep an eye on that. But when we come back, it's time to play the match game football style. I'll tell you exactly what I mean on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show, live at East Lake, right off of the 16th fairway, the Dobell Tequila Tent on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.